President Truman's press conference in the old State Building, 14 February 1952.
Please be seated. I want to read you a statement here, a copy of which will be available to you when you go out. I've had a long and satisfactory conference with Mr. Newbold Morris about his plans for carrying out his job as Special Assistant to the Attorney General. I'm directing all departments and agencies of the government to cooperate fully with Mr. Morris in the performance of his duties and to give him any information and assistance he may require and to give the highest priority to any requests made by him. Adequate funds will be provided for the activities of Mr. Morris and his staff, and they will be given separate office space outside the Department of Justice. I intend to see to it that Mr. Morris has access to all the information he needs that is in the possession of the executive branch and the authority to examine and require testimony from all officers and employees of the executive branch. However, in many cases where government employees have been subject to outside influence, the most essential evidence is not in government hands. Mr. Morris cannot conduct a thoroughgoing and effective investigation of cases such as these unless he has the power of subpoena to subpoena witnesses and documents from outside the government. The executive branch cannot confer such power on Mr. Morris. It must be provided by statute. Accordingly, I'm going to ask the Congress to give Mr. Morris the subpoena powers necessary to the proper performance of his duties. The Attorney General wholeheartedly concurs in these recommendations and in the arrangements we are making to enable Mr. Morris to do an independent, thorough, and efficient job. Mr. Morris will have my full support and the full support of the Attorney General, and I intend to follow the progress of his work very closely. I hope that he will also have the full support of Congress and the public. I can ask questions if you like.
Does that statement mean that Mr. Morris can examine income tax returns?
He'll have the necessary power to make whatever examinations are necessary to do the job.
Mr. President, has the executive ever had subpoena power? Is there this new?
No, the executive never did have subpoena power. No, they never have. There's subpoena powers in the courts and the committees of Congress, but not in the executive.
Has the executive ever asked Congress before?
I don't know. I don't know, Pete. I haven't read that much history. We want to give this man the authority necessary so he can do a job, so you fellows who've been charged with the White Horse will be answered. White Horse. I'm talking to Pete, not...
Could we quote you on that last statement?
You can't quote me at all. You'll have to take these questions and answers just as they come. I'm sorry. When I want to be quoted, I'll make a public statement. The statements you can take in full.
Mr. President, on the subject of your being quoted...
Here it comes.
Go ahead, Smitty.
Mr. Benjamin Brody, the head of the Zionist organization, came out of your office yesterday and said that you said you would make up your mind about running for in 52 and make an announcement within 10 to 15 days. Was he quoting you right?
Well, you know, everybody is entitled to have his say when he comes out of the president's office. But I want to tell you fellas that whenever I get ready to make an announcement, I'll make it to you. It won't be through a third person.
President, if you thought that running would help the cause of world peace, would you run?
I'll answer that question when I make my announcement.
Very good. President, do you think the cause of world peace would be helped if you ran?
I couldn't hear you.
It's just the reverse of that question.
I can't answer it, Ed. You need to try to reverse your questions because I'm not under cross-examination. I want to say to you that I know that you're very much interested in this situation, and I'm interested too. But we don't want to make this thing ridiculous. I've carefully and conscientiously tried to answer all your questions. I always try to do that. But it seems to me that it's about time now for you to wait until I get ready to make the necessary announcement, and then you'll have all the information. I don't want to confuse you. I haven't tried to confuse you. I've told you that it's a difficult decision for me to make, and that as soon as it's time for the announcement to be made, you'll have the information promptly. So let's go to some other subject that the country's interested in and discuss that, because I've said all to you that I'm going to say on this subject. Now, I'm being kind to you and friendly to you. It's not in any spirit of not wanting to cooperate with you, but I'm not ready to make an announcement, and when I get ready, you shall have it.
This question on this, on your security order. The AEC and the Civil Aeronautics Administration has issued about 12,000 colored maps showing airspace regulations over the country. They're used for the purpose of keeping pilots from going to various atomic energy plants. And the Minneapolis Tribune has raised the question, well, whether that is a violation of your security order, or whether those maps give enemy bombers or pilots information that would lead them to be able to bomb.
They would, of course. Those maps are made strictly for the use of pilots so that they will not be in danger zones. They have to be made, and they have to be in the hands of airline pilots. But it would be too bad if all those maps were in the hands of people who might be our potential enemies. I would give very much to have a whole set of maps like that for a certain country with which you're all familiar. I don't suppose I'll be able to get them. Well, I know, but I think the people in America ought to use a little judgment, as I told you before, that this country's theirs. They don't want to see it destroyed, and they ought to do everything they possibly can in a common sense way to keep that from happening. That's all I can say to you.
These maps are posted in airports, and any citizen calls the AEC and get a copy.
I know it, and you're calling attention to the fact so as to help the people that ought not to have them to get them. I can't answer that. I don't do that on a state basis. I do it on a merit basis.
Mr. President, William Loeb, the New Hampshire publisher, has asked that I ask you a question about a telegram he sent you this week regarding Senator McCarthy's speech this coming Saturday night. He asks if you are familiar with the man in the executive department to whom the Senator intends to refer.
I don't know a thing about it. McCarthy don't take me into his confidence.
President, did you encourage Stuart Symington to run for Senate?
I have no answer to that question, Ed. When the time comes, I will answer it.
Mr. President, speaking of Illinois, appointment of the judges to fill the two vacancies in Northern Illinois District, anywhere near imminent?
No, I think not. I sent two good names down there, and they were turned down. I'm not ready to send any more at this time.
Do you intend, sir, to submit new names?
Sometime or other, I may. I don't promise to do it.
Mr. President, choosing a new judge for the Eastern District of South Carolina, would you consider a man who voted for Governor Thurmond instead of you?
If he would make a good judge, of course I would. I've done that in many instances. In fact, I appointed more judges on a bipartisan basis than most any other president since 1900.
Mr. President, what part of South Carolina is that?
Charleston.
Charleston. Well, that's the wearing vacancy.
President, are you bothered by the fact that Senator Taft has reiterated the fact that he has no confidence in the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
No comment.
The fact that the Gallup poll now shows that he is even with Eisenhower. I know you have no. He's still your favorite candidate, sir.
Well, sir, I don't go much on polls, as you know.
Could you comment on the resignation of Frank Schofield, Austin, Texas, expected in permanent?
You will have to inquire of the Commissioner of Internal Revenue on that. All I know is what I saw in the paper. I don't run those things in detail. I delegate the responsibility for running to somebody else. So you talk to the Commissioner of Internal Revenue.
President, may I ask another question?
Sure.
Senator Taft has been saying that the Korean War is the Truman War and the useless war. I mean, I don't know whether it's been effective answer that. I wonder if you would comment on, sir.
Well, the public will have to come to its own conclusion, and I have no comment specifically on what Senator Taft has to say. He's running for a nomination. He's not even a candidate yet. Goodness, you fellas running out of ink?
Oh, we're just writing hard.
Go ahead.
President, I wondered if you could tell us how soon you expect to fill the vacancy on the Labor Relations Board.
Well, just as quickly as I can find the man I think is fitted to fill it.
And you have not found a man yet?
Not yet. I do want to make a comment to you. I noticed in one of the papers last night a statement by Negro man up in Harlem after his son had been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. It was the posthumous award. And I think that's one of the most patriotic and outstanding statements I've seen since I've been in politics. I hope you'll all read it.
One of the most patriotic in what, sir?
Outstanding.
Mr. President, there's been some discussion from time to time of what would happen if an armistice in Korea were achieved. And I have seen a number of references that to this government has under discussion. I don't like to use the word ultimatum, but some kind of a statement to the effect that if the armistice were violated, we would take retaliatory action. Can you say anything about that situation?
This is a very poor time, I'm sorry to say, to comment on that situation. We're trying to reach an agreement over there, and any comment here will only muddy the waters for the negotiators, so I can't answer the question.
President, back to the reference to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, would you care to comment on whether you think that the makeup of the Joint Chiefs is a proper subject of discussion as a political issue?
It is not. They are not political appointments, and I have the utmost confidence in it.
Mr. President, in case Congress does not grant a statehood to Alaska, would you favor Senator Butler, the Butler of Nebraska, bill giving the people of Alaska the right to elect their own governor?
Surely I would, but I think we're going to have statehood for them, and that's what they ought to have.
About Hawaiian statehood?
Yes. I set a precedent on that down in Puerto Rico. I appointed the first native Puerto Rican government, and then we got a bill through the 80th Congress to give the Puerto Ricans a chance to elect their own governor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's all right, Smitty.